You're listening to Give Me the Bible with Len. Today's program is entitled Cloud or Crowd. Hello, my radio friends. Welcome to the program today. This is Give Me the Bible program number 350. If you've ever read through your Bible, you would have found the first book, Genesis, very interesting. Exodus is also an exciting book about the deliverance of a large people group, the Israelites, from Egypt. It was during their overland trip across the desert to the land of Canaan, now the Middle East region, that God showed his power, care, mercy, and love for the Israelites. In Exodus 25, verse 8, the Lord said, "Let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them." God then revealed to Moses, the leader of the Israelites, all the details of the construction of the building, a kind of large tent surrounded by a fabric wall, and all the furnishings that were to be used, and the services that were to be established. For those who don't know, all the services and rituals practiced in the sanctuary in one way or another pointed to Jesus Christ. When all was finished, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. But there were two other evidences of the Lord's presence, and I'll read to you from the book of Numbers, chapter 9, verses 15 to 23. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the covenant law, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. And that's how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then at his command they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command they encamped, and at the Lord's command they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his command through Moses. Well, during the day the cloud provided shade. During the night it provided light. And when it moved, the people packed up camp and followed it wherever it led them. So why did the people follow? It was because they were following the Lord wherever he led them. And I'd like to suggest to you that following the Lord will bring about the greatest benefits and satisfaction that any human being can have. And here are three Bible verses that are worthy of your serious consideration. And the first is from John chapter 8, verse 12. And it says this, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" And the second of the verses is from Deuteronomy 13:4. "It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commandments and obey him. Serve him and hold fast to him." And the third is from Mark 8:34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." If you follow the Lord and do his will, you can't go wrong. One day Jesus, as he was teaching the people, put to them a scenario about where their lives might end up depending on their choices. And this verse is found in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. He said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter in through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." This scenario is about the easy way, the popular way of life, and, of course, the opposite, the difficult and unpopular way. Obviously, the majority of people choose the easy way, the popular way, while only a minority choose the more difficult path. The end result for the majority is destruction. In other words, following the crowd has unfortunate, serious consequences, being destruction. A few weeks ago, I presented some statistics from the Pew Research Center about church life in Australia. The fastest growing religion in Australia is no religion, that is, secularism. This means that people in increasing numbers are choosing not to take the claims of the Bible seriously. They're choosing to ignore God and are choosing not to follow Jesus Christ. Instead, they are choosing to do what the majority is choosing, that is, to please themselves regardless of any eternal consequences. Psychologists have investigated why people choose to follow the crowd. And here's some information about this phenomenon. It's from an article by Rob Henderson. He says, "It may seem that we are in control of our thoughts and behavior, but social psychology tells a different story. One lesson from social psychology is the influence others have on us. Research shows we do not have as much control over our thoughts and behavior as we think. We take cues from our environment, especially other people, on how to act. Groups influence us. Studies have been done where someone who may not hold strong opinions on certain subjects, who, after being exposed to strong opinions of others, takes on board the opinions of the group. There is a principle most of us use to determine what to do, think, say, and buy. The principle of social proof. To learn what is correct, we look at what other people are doing in defining the answer. Social proof is a shortcut to decide how to act." So why do other people influence us so much? Clearly, others affect our behavior. One reason for this is that we live in a complex world. We use the decisions of others as a mental shortcut to navigate our lives. Popular is supposedly good. Following the crowd allows us to function in a complicated environment. And of course, it's comforting to feel you fit in with the crowd. However, some of us like to think and act according to the beat of a different drum, that is, according to the will and word of God. But social pressure will continue, and unless one makes deliberate choices to remain faithful to the Lord, it's easy to succumb to social pressure. For example, you might be a teetotaler, that is, you don't drink alcohol. If you happen to be at a party, there may be a lot of pressure to make you drink that glass of wine. "Come on, one glass won't hurt you," someone might say. Because of social pressure of that nature, many in the past have forsaken their principles and submitted to what the majority accepts. The term bandwagon has been coined to describe popular culture. Here are 11 helpful ideas to assist you to not get caught up in doing what everyone else is doing. Number 1. Create distance from the bandwagon cues. For example, you can create physical distance from those cues by moving away from people who exert peer pressure before you make a decision. Alternatively, you can create temporal distance by waiting for a day or two after talking to people before you make a decision. Point number 2. Create optimal conditions for judgment and decision-making. For example, before you make a decision that might be influenced by the bandwagon effect, go somewhere quiet where you can properly concentrate while thinking about the situation. Number 3. Slow down your reasoning process. This involves taking time to think through the situation in a slow and analytical manner, rather than relying on intuition or hurried reasoning. Number 4. Make your reasoning process explicit. For example, if you're debating whether to follow a certain course of action that's association with bandwagon cues, you can explicitly list its pros and cons, and then clearly understand what decision you've made and why. Number 4. Hold yourself accountable for your decisions. Remind yourself that ultimately you're responsible for any decision that you make, even if that decision is prompted by the bandwagon effect or other types of social influence. Number 5. Examine the bandwagon, in other words, the group opinion. For example, try to identify who's promoting it and why they're doing so. For example, a salesman might be promoting it because he's trying to get people to buy their product. Number 6. Recall similar situations in the bandwagon effect played where the bandwagon effect played a role. Thinking of similar situations in which you experienced the bandwagon effect can help you assess its current influence on you, identify the potential consequences of that influence, and remember that just because something appears popular, that doesn't mean that it's right or that it's the best course of action. Now, there are a number of other points to go, but I'd like us to have a little break, and I'll go on with that straight afterwards.
Day to day. our ears are bombarded by beckoning voices, and our world is polluted with sound. Lord, let us hear you. In a land dissected and muddled by mazes of never-ending roads and highways, Lord, help us find your way. In a world of easy promises, empty guarantees, and quit-claim insurance policies, give us the security of your hand, Lord Jesus. At a time when we are confused by conflicting authorities that would tell us how to manage our marriages, our finances, and our children, oh Lord Jesus, show us your way. As we walk the tight ropes of parenthood in these explosive days, training our little ones to live in a world for which there are no precedents, Lord, we just need you. In all things, gentle shepherd, help us find the way.
There's no
today we are considering whether we follow the cloud, in other words, following where God leads, or whether we follow the crowd. And I'm sharing with you at the moment what to do when you're faced with what's called the bandwagon effect, a popular culture, and give consideration before you make a choice. And we're up to number 7. And that is to consider alternative options. For example, try to identify the at least one alternative course of action than the one suggested by the bandwagon cues, and consider its potential advantages. Number 8 is to create psychological self-distance. When considering how you should act in the light of bandwagon cues, you can improve your ability to think rationally by creating psychological self-distance. For example, by using self-distancing language and asking yourself, what should you do in this situation? Number 9 is to visualize the consequences of your decisions. Specifically, consider what the consequences would be if you followed the course of action suggested by the bandwagon effect in terms of factors such as what would happen and how you would feel. 2 more. Number 10. Elicit external feedback. For example, you can talk to a trusted individual who isn't likely to be influenced by the particular bandwagon effect that you're worried about, and ask them what they think about your reasoning process. In other words, get advice from someone you trust. And number 11, ask yourself, is it right? If it involves any suspect, illegal, or immoral activity, stay away from it. Do only what is right. One day Jesus was teaching the disciples about whom to follow and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And this must have shocked the disciples. They were aware of what carrying a cross meant. But Jesus had a deeper meaning in mind. He wanted them to put to death their own plans and desires and turn their lives over to Him, doing His will. It would require self-denial and obedience. To be a follower of Jesus, he asked for 100% complete dedication and no turning back. And no wonder we still rebel at times. It requires tamping down our ego and putting God's purposes, will, and thoughts in its place. Jesus tells us we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross. But it's not something that's forced onto your shoulders. It's a choice, something we do willingly, as Jesus did. We belong to Him. Our old passions and desires are to be dead. When we take up our cross, our lives are focused on Jesus and reflect His attributes. So what has to happen when we take up our cross and follow Jesus? Well, of course, there's always obedience. When Jesus took up His cross, He did so with great humility and obedience to His Father. He put God's will and His love for us above Himself, to the very point of death. Taking up our cross means putting aside our selfish desires and following God's will for our lives. This doesn't squash our personality or happiness. Incredibly, just the opposite happens. We find our life's fulfillment, contentment, even in trials, and unspeakable joy. Second thing is to guard your thoughts. The things we think about can determine what comes out as words and actions. There's some excellent advice from the Apostle Paul regarding our thoughts. When unpleasant, dissatisfied, critical thoughts enter our minds, we still have a choice. Denying these thought processes and refusing to give in to them is a way to take up your cross. And this takes practice and self-control. But as long as we are consistent, it gets easier to recognize them for what they are, brush them aside and fill our minds with positive things. Another thing is to put on the new self, that is, to show compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness. Choose the peace of Jesus to rule your heart instead of conflict, fear, and jealousy. Be thankful. Make gratitude a priority and a daily practice. And watch your focus turn towards the many blessings we receive. And then we need to run the race. When we take up our cross, we keep our eyes on Jesus. We lay aside the love of our possessions, our pride and accomplishments. We lay down anything that impedes working for His kingdom. His goal for us as followers is to tell others about Him, whatever the cost. And then finally, take up your cross daily. Taking up his cross daily is expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come when we conform to his lifestyle. My friends, what will be your choice? To follow the crowd? The bandwagon, that is? Or will you follow the cloud where the Lord leads? Why don't you join me in choosing to honour, follow, and serve the Lord? The rewards will be much greater than following the crowd.